to the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast with Cruz.
I don't know about you, but I'm still on cloud nine from the race at Atlanta. Let's talk more about that, along with some garage news, and we'll look forward to the race this weekend. The green flag's out. I think we're ready for it. Let's kick off the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast.
Time now for your race day rewind.
It's going to be really, really hard to top that race at Atlanta. It had everything a racing fan could ask for. Lots of lead changes, lots of passing, pit road strategy, and one of the closest finishes in NASCAR history. Now, technically, the win by Daniel Suarez was the third closest in NASCAR history with 3/1000ths of a second. Like, that was crazy. My wife wasn't real happy because she's a Ryan Blaney fan, but I thought that was the craziest finish I've seen in a really long time. Atlanta definitely did not disappoint. Of course, we had the big wreck at lap two that took out a lot of good cars, but that race had my attention the entire time. So I applaud Atlanta Motor Speedway. You know, they repaved a few years ago. I feel like that track is finally falling into place. I mean, when a car goes in the corner and is loose and spins out, I mean, I think that's what NASCAR fans have been waiting for. You see a guy like Denny Hamlin, who's had 50 wins. You know, he's always in the championship hunt, one of the top drivers in the series, whether you like him or not. But when he just randomly spins out, you know it's going to be a good race because those cars are on edge. But yeah, I thought the race itself was really good. I don't know what your thoughts are about it. I'd love to hear from you on our Days of Thunder NASCAR Facebook page. But the race was won by Daniel Suarez, a three-wide finish between him, Kyle Busch, and Ryan Blaney, who had the lead going into the last lap, but Kyle Busch jumped up to make it three wide, putting himself in the middle. I don't know how they didn't wreck. Like, I literally thought, these guys are wrecking. All three of them are done. I was looking in the second row to see who was going to win this race, but somehow they all held, and Daniel Suarez, his first win. You know, he didn't win last year, but his first win of the season, which is a big one for Trackhouse Racing. That puts Suarez and William Byron both in the championship hunt later this season. And they look at the point standings after Atlanta. William Byron still at the number one spot, followed by Daniel Suarez, Kyle Busch, Austin Cindric, Bubba Wallace, and former champion from last year, Ryan Blaney, in sixth place. Here's what Daniel Suarez had to say after his huge win at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yeah, it was definitely a special moment. You know, going back actually to a restart, I have to thank actually Kyle Busch because he did a very, very good job giving me some good pushes to take the lead the first time when I was third, and we took the lead together. And then after that, when I picked the bottom in front of him, it worked out good, but the 12 car, the Penske car, they were pretty strong. They were pretty strong, especially when they were close to being together. And the outside line on the back of straightaway came extremely strong, way sooner than what I was anticipating. And the 12 was able to push me, but when he moved me a little bit, he was able to get to my outside. And that's exactly what I didn't want. I didn't want to give him my outside, but at that point I was racing in second, and I was trying to figure out how to get to him. I almost got to him getting into a three, but I got very, very loose, and I couldn't actually get there. And when we crossed the white flag, I knew we were going to have a good shot because the two car was behind me, and he was giving me very, very good pushes. And I dragged the brake a little bit on corner two, and I can see him coming with a push. I say, okay, here comes, and my move was going to come after that. But then he slowed down, and I was like, damn it. Like, obviously, he didn't want to help me because his teammate was on the lead. But at that point, the 23 pushed the 8, and the 8 was able to make the move, and I was able to side drive the 8, and that's when the 3 wide, you know, got started. So it was a little crazy. You know, who knows what would have happened if the 2 was actually giving me the push. Maybe, who knows, maybe they were going to pass me back, get X04. I'm just glad we're here with my entire team, Trackhouse, Chevrolet, Freeway Insurance, Cesar over there, CEO of Freeway Insurance, with his entire family. He's been in Victory Lane already twice in 1 month, so he's getting a spoil. And just very happy, you know, very happy. Everyone in Trackhouse worked extremely hard in the off season, and to be able to start the 2024 season this is strong, because last week in the Daytona 500, we finished 32nd or something like that, but we were running up front. and we wrecked running up front. And I feel like we have a strong team, and we're showing that so far in the couple of weeks that we've been racing. So we have to continue to build.
NASCAR News Now.
And I wanted to wait to release this episode based on the penalties that I knew were coming from NASCAR this week. The big one and the most talked about was Joey Logano's gloves. Now, this was announced the day of the race that he would have to drop to the back of the field and do a drive-through on pit road. The reason for it, NASCAR found out that Joey had swapped his gloves with ones that were more webbed. If you noticed during qualifying, some of the drivers were sticking their hands kind of at the window there with a net to block the wind from getting in the car. More of an aerodynamic advantage. Well, Joey was wearing webbed gloves, and NASCAR saw that. They were not a fan, and again, they put him to the back of the field, made him do a drive-through penalty, which NASCAR announcing that Joey will have a $10,000 fine for those webbed gloves. The other penalty that came out was for Stewart Haas Racing for both Noah Gregson's 10 car and Ryan Preece's 41 car. Both of those are losing 35 points for the roof rail deflectors. And I know 35 points doesn't sound like a lot, but that puts them in a hole, especially coming off some wrecks over the last 2 weeks. So that is a pretty big penalty that I think is going to hurt both teams down the road. But yeah, those were two of the bigger penalties released this week from NASCAR for the teams. And Hendrick Motorsports announcing that they will field the number 17 Xfinity car for 10 races this season. The sponsor will be HendrickCars.com. And here's what's wild. All four current Cup drivers will share the duty for those races. So yeah, Kyle Larson, Alex Bowman, William Byron, and Chase Elliott will all be in the 17 car in the Xfinity Series for 10 races this season. Kyle Petty announcing that he will have his Ride Across America go through 9 states on their 2024 ride. This will kick off on May 4th and run through the 10th. It's going to be about 150 motorcycles on a 7-day trek with more than 2,000 miles in an effort to raise funds and awareness for the Victory Junction Gang. The camp dedicated to providing life-changing camping experience for children with serious and chronic mental conditions. Great event for a great cause. You can learn more about this if you like. Just throw it in your Google machine there, either Victory Junction Gang Camp or Kyle Petty Charity Ride. That'll get you all the information you'll need. Pretty cool deal there. And He Gets Us announcing that they will extend their partnership with Joe Gibbs Racing. They will serve as the primary sponsor for 6 races in the NASCAR Cup Series with Ty Gibbs. So they went from just a couple races up to that. They're also going to sponsor Eric Almirola in 10 races in the Xfinity Series. So a pretty big sponsor announcement there for Joe Gibbs Racing. And I know the Daytona 500 just happened a couple weeks ago, but they have announced that next year's event will be held on February 16th for 2025. So be sure to mark that on your calendars.
This is your Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast.
Well, the Cup Series is doubling down as they head to Las Vegas this weekend for the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. The race itself will be Sunday, March 3rd with a green flag of around 2:30 on Fox. I'm excited about the package that the cars will have because I believe they're going to have a lower spoiler compared to what they had at Atlanta. So we'll see what happens there, but I think it's going to be a good race. My top performers for the race, I've got to go with Joey Logano. He is always good at Las Vegas, along with Denny Hamlin. And I think Tyler Reddick is going to have a great race also. My dark horse, I think Noah Gregson turns it around. You know, he's kind of had an up and down season, but I think he finally gets a good solid run with no wrecks. I mean, he's been in wrecks the last 2 weeks. A clean car this weekend for Noah Gregson, but that's going to be my dark horse for the race. It's going to be a good one Sunday in Las Vegas. Don't miss the green flag on Fox around 2:30. Have a great weekend, and don't forget tonight, Danica Patrick will be at Juanita K. Hammonds Hall. She is the keynote speaker for the Bears new WIN program, which stands for Women's Impact Network. This is a free event for you to attend. Get more details at theBull1051.com, and I'll see you there. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week on the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast.
Thanks for listening to Cruise and the Days of Thunder podcast. Find out more NASCAR info at theBull1051.com.